What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Dolphins Collective, the Dolphins' biggest surprises in camp we're going to be discussing today. Also, some bad surprises that we're going to have to just be honest about. Chris Bell's health. I know y'all saw the video. And Austin Jackson's health. Oh, my God. What's new? And also, does this team have any dogs? We're going to find out here on Dolphins Collective, ladies and gentlemen. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. We're joined, obviously, by the great Alan Poupar and the infamous Omar Kelly. Y'all like the words I use? Oh, my gosh. Well, y'all go ahead and get in the room. Make sure you hit the like button. Let your friends and family members know about the channel. But before we get started, we want you to know about the official sponsors of Dolphins Collective who are going to be rocking with us all season long. First and foremost, we got to start out with SeatGeek, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you go in the comment section in the description of the video and click on the link to SeatGeek and use code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off tickets on SeatGeek. Okay, the link is in the description below. Take advantage of it because I know a lot of y'all going to Dolphin games. Y'all go to concerts. Y'all go to all type of events, shows, all type of stuff. This is where you want to get your tickets. Don't miss out. Make sure you get in on the action. And real quick, we have old Doug to remind
Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love, love, love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. There are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app. Again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video.
Shout out to SeatGeek, and let's not forget about Prize Picks, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you go on and use code HMA, and guess what, man? I am so thrilled. We've been telling y'all about this lately. Some of y'all taking advantage of it, some of you not. But right now, new users, if you play $5 and you win on that $5 bet, you're going to get $150 in play, okay? Take advantage of that opportunity, but make sure that you play responsibly. Right now on Prize Picks, I still got to remind people that I have my ticket for the season coming up, but I want y'all to notice something. Malik Willis is at 3,124 and a half yards when I first put it in. Now, let me show you something, okay? This is going to be very interesting. Where my NFL action at? Let me go to it real quick. All right, NFL season. We're going to go with the quarterbacks. One moment. Let me see. That's NHL. NHL, by the way. I know. I'm on the wrong one, right? All right, let me just type in Malik, okay? Watch this, y'all. Watch this. Let me see here. Oh, wait, maybe I got something mixed up here. All right, passing yards. Oh, well, for some reason it's not coming up for me right now. Let me just go NFL. Let me see. Well, right now Malik is literally, last I saw his line was at 2,900. It's been dropped by about 200 yards. I got to ask you, Alan and Omar, do you see a world where Malik does not throw for 3,000 yards?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Like, are y'all serious right now?
Yeah.
Are you saying it's an impossibility? Are we serious?
Like, okay, would you bet on him to throw less than 3,000 yards?
I don't think he's gonna be I don't think he's gonna be healthy for more than 13 games this season. So
Omar, why you keep putting that on him, man? Like he the last guy or something.
No. Because the scramble, the style of play is going to there's a reason why you don't want your quarterback running unless he's the size of Josh Allen. It's because these defenders are going to tee off on you.
I don't know about that, man. I think Malik is going to stay healthy. I just can't see that. I understand he's a runner, but Josh Allen been healthy for every year, and he a runner.
Josh Allen's the size of a tank.
45. I mean, it's
not... yeah.
These two things are not the same.
Man. Like y'all sure know how to crush some feelings, man. But anyway, man, let's go ahead and get into it, man. We'll see. But go on to Prize Picks and take advantage of it. The link's in the description of the video. But don't forget to use code HMA and make sure that you play responsibly, okay? All right, y'all. Let's get into it, man. We've been at camp. We've seen all the action. There's so much happening. But there, I have to admit, there really has been some surprises, some good surprises, and sadly enough, some bad surprises as well. I want to start out with Omar here. What's one of your biggest surprises so far in camp with these guys wrapping up about 5-6 days for you?
I'll give you a little praise, TD. I'm seeing development and progression from Malik Willis. I can't really sit there and say that I expected it because what I saw in OTAs and before training camp, that wasn't an NFL starter. And I know he's got very limited weaponry. I know he's got a little understanding of the offense, but that process and speed was slow. And yes, I did not see the scrambling. I did see the arm. I'm seeing him progressively get better. Like before, I would say, I don't know if it's fair that the competition isn't open. Now I'm saying it's clear why the competition is closed. Okay. And let's continue to invest in Malik and see what the upside is. I don't know what the upside potential could be. People got all in their feelings when I said he's who did I say he was?
Tyrod Taylor. I got Tyrod Taylor because it's silly. Go ahead.
Okay. Why is it silly? Tyrod was a backup quarterback who got elevated into a starting role, had some moments of success as a starter, led a team to the playoffs, and then went back to his role as a backup.
Who was never as athletically as gifted as Malik.
I think Tyrod was a scrambling quarterback at Virginia Tech. So let's put some respect on his name. Okay. He doesn't have that camp.
Talking to the arm queen over here. So like you got to make it work with the arm queen.
Okay, fair. I give you that. Malik will satisfy every arm queen. There is no complaints about the arm. None. I would love it to be a little bit more accurate, but I take it. Josh Allen wasn't accurate, and he was killing it. So and he's still killing it. So I'm not gonna sit here. Yeah, he became accurate. I'm not going to sit here and complain about Malik. But the arm is legit. No question about it. I'd always seen that. I like the fact that he's just not scrambling. He's throwing on the move. And that, to me, is encouraging. So maybe I don't have to worry so much about his injuries.
I'm glad you said that because it's almost like people have a perception that, you know, oh, he's a run first, trying to always run. Mm-hmm. But that's not really what he's been. Now, he had to at Tennessee. That's how bad the O-line was. So people
He had to at Green Bay to win games, too.
Yeah, that too. So, but he's actually a pocket quarterback that can get out and run. But you, I noticed you said something too, Omar, on X, that he's not Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray running. He got wheels, but they're not those kind of wheels. And I think it's important for people to know that. I actually agree with that. But those wheels are still better than Josh Allen's wheels, right?
No. Josh Allen is
faster. He's faster, but it's a different style of running. And here's the thing. Come on.
I'd have to see him open up and run.
Lamar Jackson, you're talking about an all-timer in terms of mobility and speed for a quarterback. And then Kyler Murray is 5'7", and he's kind of limited as a passer. So this is like, I don't know. And I say this with all due respect, but I have no idea why we can put Malik Willis in the category of surprises. To me, he's basically he has progressed exactly how I figured he would progress. To me, guys would be surprised. It wouldn't be like necessarily the high-profile players. In fact, I did a trending up, trending down on Miami Dolphins on SI.com today, and one of my guys trending up, which I didn't necessarily see coming, is Zane Anderson.
How could you not see him coming? He started all, you know, when we weren't supposed to tell you when he was starting.
But he's played well, and he's featured prominently in the practice reps. That's what we're allowed to say. And okay, Omar, okay, I question your choice of Malik Willis. By all means, question my choice of Zane Anderson.
I mean, come on. Was that a surprise to you, Alan Pappard?
He's a career special teams player.
So he's a defender who knows Jeff Hafley's defense more than anybody else.
Correct. And he's showing me more right now than I expected that I was going to see. Robert Beal Jr. is another one. And for me, surprises is not going to be like the big names. Like Caden Proctor is not a surprise because he's a 12th overall pick. So the fact that he's looking good, he's supposed to look good.
Hold on. Who says he's looking good? You say he's looking good?
Yeah, I say he's looking good.
All right. I would like to see less false starts.
How many false starts has he had?
I'm watching one-on-ones. He starts to snap pretty early. He's got impeccable timing when the ball is snapped. He's really early. He's got the quickest first step I've ever seen.
Not a penalty if they don't call it. Ask Jawan Taylor.
And that would be one of my complaints about practice. I don't think enough stuff getting called.
We're right there with you.
Because I see stuff. I don't think enough stuff getting called.
I agree. They need to
have. And you're gonna get a rude awakening when real refs get out there.
I saw one play in teams where Austin Jackson, when he was in there, is lined up like 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, that's a formation penalty, like automatic, and they didn't call. Anyway, Cameron Good maybe shouldn't be surprised, but he's balling out. He's looking really, really good, and he's like an afterthought. It's like.
Balling out, doing playing, well.
Okay.
Playing his best football ever. Balling out.
I would be balling out. The same there. I'm sorry if it's too strong a terminology. He has done a fairly good job.
He's excelled,
but not balling out.
If we moved him up to the second team, which I'm not supposed to tell you which team he's on. If we moved him up, would he still be playing at that same level?
But that's not what I can't gauge that. More than likely not, but I can't.
But balling out is you making me feel like, oh, he should be a starter. Is he giving you Quentin Bell from 2 years ago?
It's similar, but until Quentin Bell eventually like.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
By the way, signed with the 49ers. Anyway, also on my list, I had, and again, Let me prepare it so Omar can poo-poo it again, because apparently that's what the mode is in. I mentioned Robert Beal Jr., who I didn't expect.
I ain't say nothing. I ain't say nothing.
Now I don't know what to say anymore because I was prepared to defend it. Those are the guys I had on my – and of the young cornerbacks who they signed in the offseason, Alex Austin has caught my eye.
Omar Brown too, a safety who is like AJ Green too.
Oh man, you got him.
I'm like, maybe, you know, I don't know any of them from Adam. Like they could all whoever want the jobs can get the jobs. So I like some of the safeties. I would say, you know, I like what Zeke Biggers is doing. It's not for everything. It's not a pass rusher, but somebody got to stop the run. And I say this all the time. You don't stop the run, you're going to have a trash defense. Trash.
You're not suggesting, though, he's balling out, are you?
No, I'm not suggesting. I like what he's done. Okay. Let me find somebody who's been balling out.
Chop has been balling out, but. That's not necessarily a surprise in training.
Is it? It's not.
I'm not going. No.
Not a surprise.
I'm not going to say Chop is doing well until I see a joint practice and I see him setting the edge.
Dude, but here's the thing though: is we're going based on what we've seen so far, based on what he's been asked to do in his assignments.
But can you know Chop can rush the passer?
Correct. But it's, that's why I'm saying it's not a big surprise.
Yes.
But I also can't say, well, let's completely disregard what he's done so far because he hasn't shown he can set the edge in a joint practice. They haven't had a joint practice yet. So far, for what he's been asked to do, he's been really good.
So my surprise.
Can you give me that? Ooh,
let me give you somebody who's okay. been balling. Let me give you somebody. Carlos Washington Jr.
Okay.
I like him. I didn't know him. I like him. He stands out to me. Do I know if he can pass protect? No. Do I know if he can catch balls out the backfield? No.
Yes.
I like his stuff.
He's caught a lot of passes out of the backfield. Okay. I had him on my list, too, by the way. I forgot to mention him. But he's on my list right here, number 30.
Look at him copying my list. Copying my list.
Well, I have three players.
Yes, I copy everything you do, Omar. We know that already. Inside joke. We'll keep
I have three players. You already named one. Choppy is a surprise to me because I was curious how he would move with the extra weight. And I'm just fine with how he's moving with it. There's
a tad volume turned down of the twitchiness. And I don't know if that's not bad.
But I agree with you, Omar. Let's wait till Washington because look at who he is going against now.
Sorry, TD. Can we also not pretend like he gained 35 pounds? I mean, he gained like 7 pounds. That's not, I mean.
Oh, I thought it was like 10 or 12. Okay.
It's like 12. It was like 12 from his rookie year. Robinson. No. It's 65. So it's like 12. It's like 12 from when he was just rookie was 65.
Anyway, go ahead, TD.
My second on the other side, Uche. I feel like he's been making plays because we need him to be a guy. I saw him the other day bull rush Patrick Paul right into Malik Willis, and Malik didn't even throw the ball. He was just like, man, come on. Like, you ain't giving me no time. And he drove him straight back. That actually had me looking at Patrick Paul a little side-eyed after that. And last, AJ Green. I'm glad you brought that up, Omar. I don't know these guys either, but he made me know him. And it's sad because guys are still catching the ball on him, but he's in every play. He's on his man. He is glued to his man. He's having great coverage. It's just weird how it's not finishing on the back end.
You know what's funny? I don't like much about Brian Flores. Y'all know that. But
you guys were like this.
Yeah, everybody.
No, that was Brandon.
Dan, don't do that. Don't do me like that. I got PTSD. What was I going to say? Flores, one of the things I really liked about Flores is in his first year, you practiced well that day, you got elevated to the first team. It wasn't personal. It wasn't about your status. It wasn't about your draft spot. I don't see why Juju Brents should be working with the first team right now. He hasn't practiced well. I'm sorry. I like Juju. I like Juju. Has Juju earned a starting spot? My answer would be no. Has Jason Marshall Jr. earned a starting spot? My answer would be no. I mean, He's earned it more than Juju. I will say that. He's earned it more than Juju.
How many passes did you give up?
Oh, he's given up a lot of passes. Yes, he has.
He had the one really bad play against Malik Washington, a deep pass, where Zane Anderson also was involved, which was funky, and he took a weird step on the
ball. Yeah. He's been victimized by Caleb Douglas a couple of times. When Douglas is catching passes, it's on Juju. It's on Juju usually. And if I'm going to sit up here and praise Caleb Douglas for the guy who impressed me the most the first week, somebody got to be the victim. And that was Juju. That was, you know, I'm not saying that he's out here killing Juju. Juju's in a good spot. And truthfully speaking, I just want Juju to be healthy. Coming out of camp, he's in the Austin Jackson clubhouse where I just want you to be healthy. I don't even care if you're a little rusty at the beginning of the season. Just get to the season healthy. But I would like to see these cornerbacks. I would like for them to dangle a carrot in front of these cornerbacks and say, "You want this job? You want this job? You want this job? Come get it." In my mind, there's no way that AJ Green, the third. Should not be getting tried out with the starters.
I ain't
gonna tell me why he shouldn't.
I'm noticing this man. Like, I mean,
because I haven't seen. I think Ethan Bonner's been better than him. I think Jason Marshall Jr. been better than him. And not to say that AJ Green hasn't done some good work. He's done some good work, but I'm not seeing quite the astonishing body.
I'm not saying that he's been killing it, but I want to see guys play with a higher level of competition than just sit out here covering the third batch of wide receivers.
Here's the thing. You don't think Hapley and his staff have evaluated everything they've seen, and they're kind of pretty comfortable with the idea that if everybody's healthy and in there, Juju Brents is one of their best cornerbacks, and I don't think there's any question.
I want Juju to feel some pressure. Okay. I want all of them to feel pressure. I want to see who rises to the occasion.
Do you want Achane to feel pressure? Do you want Jordan Brooks to feel pressure?
Give me five
exceptions. Everybody else can feel pressure. Give me five. All I want is five. That's all I want. Five exceptions, but everybody else can feel pressure.
Patrick Paul, Devon Achane, Jordan Brooks,
Malik Willis,
Aaron Brewer,
Zach Sealer, Aaron Brewer, Caden Proctor. That's six.
No. I want him to feel pressure.
Who do you want to see at left guard?
I want to see Proctor at right tackle, and I want to see somebody else at left guard.
I'm good with that, and we're going to get to the Austin Jackson topic at some point. I'm good with that if there's going to be a prolonged issue with Austin. But what I want is if you move Proctor to right tackle, keep him there. None of this jerking back and forth.
No. I want to see. No. Give me a weak sample size. Let me see what the possibilities are. And it's not just about Caden Proctor. I want to see Jonah at right tackle too. It don't hurt me to see it for one day. It don't hurt me to see it for he might have to play it during the season.
You don't buy into the idea that moving guys around on the offensive line with the wrong guy can completely mess with their mojo, with their juju.
Mentally soft,
I don't think it's got even got to do with mental. TDs are going in the background. I could say, I don't even think it has to do with like mental toughness. I think there's something to be said about.
I'm a firm believer that you give rookies small doses. You give them a small little plate, and if they eat everything on the little plate, then you put more on the plate. They eat everything on the plate again, then you get a bigger plate. I do get that and agree with that. However, and you know we battled on this privately and publicly. You know my opinion on Austin Jackson. Austin Jackson don't play this season. Season done. Like. Cut. It's over. It's a wrap. I don't know what's like.
That's Omar and Austin Jackson.
No. It's not. And I'll be the first to tell you, Austin Jackson has not practiced well.
Good.
Now, was it an injury related? Okay, whatever. Was it rust? I don't know. But if you do not get good play out of your right tackle position, season's done. Quarterback can't do nothing. You're not even going to be on the field for.
But my point is that Austin Jackson, while a solid starter, is not Penei Sewell, where Penei Sewell leaves the Detroit Lions, where he's at left tackle now. But before, if you lost him at right tackle, there would automatically be a massive drop off because he's so good. Austin Jackson is average, like a little above average. So you can, it's not a high bar to kind of.
And what's the, where, like, what's your option? What's your alternative?
That's not an Austin Jackson is indispensable issue. Now you have done a poor job getting anybody else.
You got nobody else over there.
Part of the problem is you signed a veteran. Sorry, TD. You signed a veteran free agent, Charlie Heck, in free agency. And right now he is looking like, as somebody would say, booty cheeks.
I just feel like I know Austin Jackson is a tackle, but I just feel like at this point, knowing that his inconsistent potential to be in the lineup. Why not just put Proctor outside and let Austin Jackson rotate with the guards?
You know what? That's not a bad idea, but it's easier for one, you made Austin take a pay cut. He's trying to get the opportunity to prove that he's worth money. If you move him to right guard, it's going to change the whole dynamic of things. It's going to probably lead to some struggles. Two, I think Caden Proctor, his size and his power can facilitate you running to the left side with him, with all three of those linemen on the left side. If you could consistently do that, that's a great thing. And three, the close quarters is defensive tackles aren't going to be able to bull him. They aren't going to be able to power him. And I think it benefits him as opposed to worrying about a guy with speed off the edge. So I get it. I get what they're trying to do. I just don't think it benefits the organization long term.
Here's my question, though. Would you rather have two stud tackles, or would you rather have a stud left side of the offensive line?
I would rather have two stud tackles.
You got to qualify that better. Do we rather have two stud tackles and a stud center or a left side of the line? Well, you because this Brewer's still going to be in the middle.
Correct, but you already that's a constant, so it doesn't change the equation. The equation
But your two weakest spots would be guard, surrounded by better players.
Correct,
like sandwich.
Correct.
Definitely got to be figured out.
Truthfully speaking, it should not be this hard to find a good quality guard, but this organization has struggled to do it for 20 years. So let's be honest about it. Like,
do you think they would be in the business of making a contract year player trade for a guard or something like that?
I said this earlier and I stand by this, and I don't know where he is from a physical standpoint or from a desire standpoint or if he would return here standpoint. I never liked the cut of James Daniels. It didn't make any sense to me. You already paid the freight of the money. You lost $1.8 million in cap space just getting rid of him. Yes, it sends the right message, but I would rather have bodies here than sit up here sending message. And if he is healthy and can play, he's probably better than anybody you can find on the market right now.
Do you not find it peculiar or interesting that no team has signed him? And, well, it's a fact. And the scuttlebutt is basically Dolphins were like thinking you're okay to come back. And James like, no, I'm not okay to come back. And no, I'm not okay. And I'm not coming back. Well,
yeah. And sometimes people will lose their love for a situation or team and that very well might be the case, but I'm willing to put money right now that James Daniels is playing in the NFL in 2026. And he just hasn't found work right now because he probably don't want to do a training camp.
That's okay. Again, you're establishing a culture, a foundation. That's the kind of guy you want on your team?
Fair. That's fair. But right now, I'm looking for bodies. Right now, I'm looking for healthy people who can help me. Don't know if he is.
Call John Jerry. Richie Incognito is still out there. Who else?
Richie probably could still play. Think he probably could still play. And on the tackle situation, I know Kendall Lamb can play if he want to.
You know he signed, right?
Who did he sign to?
Baltimore Ravens.
When?
Yesterday. Became official.
Just like
that. Oh, damn. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Damn. Ron Armstead got 5 games in him.
No. Yeah, you have to put on 50 pounds again because he's looking like this. Yeah.
Damn, I didn't even tell me he went to work.
All right, we done talked about the good surprises so far in camp. At least we have some, which is pretty good. But let's get into the bad surprises. You know, what's been disappointing to you? What's like got your nose turned up right now? We'll start with Alan this time. Talk to me.
How about you go first and I can copy what you say?
Okay. well, I'll go then. A bad surprise right now, and I'm genuinely saying this, Quinn Ewers.
It's right here, 14. It's right. Look, trending down number. He's on my list. Sorry, go ahead.
Did you really do a trending down?
I did. Quinn Ewers trending down. Absolutely.
Go ahead. Because remember in OTAs, we were having this conversation like, hey, this should be a real competition. And now we start the show and you both agree that we understand now it's not even close. Quinn Ewers is the reason why the gap. I'm not going to say it was Malik. Quinn Ewers is the reason for the gap because he's shown more promise at the end of last season and coming into OTAs. Now it's just like, I feel like he's playing reckless football at times. And it ain't all bad. He's making some throws, but there's nothing like I expected development, the next level of him, even if it hasn't arrived to where it need to be yet. But that's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a not even a backup quarterback right now. And at a minimum, you're supposed to show that you're a backup quarterback right now, trying to wait for your opportunity to maybe prove something to be a star, be the next Malik like he was in Green Bay.
Can I ask you this question? How much do you factor in the weaponry that he's working with and probably the lack of familiarity with that weaponry? And how much do you factor in the quality of the offensive line he's working with? Because really, I can't really tell you.
And use that for Malik Willis also.
I'm not factoring it in at all, Omar, because they both are working with the same circumstance and the gap is growing.
Malik is working with a better offensive line. Let's be real.
I feel like the offensive line have been more productive in the second unit. The second unit has run the ball a little bit better. I mean, they fumble, but at least that's what I thought. I thought that the O-line has been a little bit better. Okay, well, if y'all disagree.
Heck, Puig.
I ain't talking about the names. Meyer. I'm just talking about the play. I don't feel like it's as Klein. Rushing and impactful with that second unit.
I cut everybody on their second team offensive line. The only one who finds work is Andrew Meyer.
Yeah, but are we looking in the lens of if they were to play in the first unit or how they're just doing in the second unit?
I think because, how they're just doing in the second unit. I think there's, let's be real about this. Like, I don't know how good or bad this Dolphins team can be because I have not seen enough from the frontline players to say how good or bad they are. What I do know is that the backups are bad. Like, the backups are bad. Now, there's no depth on this team. The frontline guys, I don't know if they're A starters, B starters, C starters, D starters, or F starters. But I do know the backups are F players.
Including Quinn Ewers, because I just feel like he hasn't had any real rhythm of like stringing together multiple plays. And it's just, I feel like he was better last year.
Ooh, hold on, not after the first week. Okay, he was
No, and maybe not the first few days, but the last 3 days. Come on now.
You ain't see the first 3 days.
He making me think maybe Cam Miller should be competing for that.
No. The last 3 days have been much better than the first 3 days. The first 3 days was trash.
Really?
Wasn't good.
Yes. That's even worse. But he's my
has been average compared to the first 3 days.
I want to say this before I tell you my bad surprise. I'm going to look at my list again. Talking about the depth on this team, would you guys call me crazy right now if I were to say from where I sit, maybe the deepest position on the roster right now might be cornerback?
That's because of who they're facing. But
we're talking about guys. Bonner's played pretty well. You guys are both singing the praises of AJ Green. I am telling you,
the inside linebackers.
I was going to say linebackers and running
inside
backs.
Linebackers and running and backs. Running is back. Not bad.
Not running back. Come on, man. Okay.
Yeah, man. I could go four deep at running back.
Yeah. With the rookie, what's his name again?
Where would you rank any Dolphin number two running back among backup running backs in the NFL? I mean,
okay. They're C-minus players. Okay. That's fair.
That's fair. Okay. But linebackers, deepest group.
Where would I rank any starting cornerback? C-minus player.
That's fair. But my point is that you got a lot of them.
Well, you know what? You know, we'll find out.
I got a lot of inside linebackers too.
I could rock
with Ronnie Harrison Jr. I could rock with Jackson Woodard. You know, I damn sure could rock with Willie Gay Jr.
Willie Gay.
And Trey Moore, Kyle Lewis, Jacob Rodriguez.
Wait, with all the respect in the world, has Jackson Woodard made one play in training camp so far? I don't know.
I have no issue with Jackson Woodard. I have none. Not a zero.
Someone asked, do you recall him making one single play?
No, not yet. But I remember him making plays in like OTAs and mini camp. I don't remember anything in particular, but if he's my weakest member in my unit, that's still better than the weakest member in every other unit.
Well, Alan, the good thing for us is we will find out all we need to know about the secondary next week when they play Washington with Diggs coming in and McLaren and McLaurin and all of those guys.
Sure.
So we'll see how they hold up.
Okay, my two bad surprises, I have two of them, include, and then not counting Quinn Ewers, who was on my list. And surprised, I didn't know necessarily what to expect, and I had been told that he wasn't great in Tampa Bay, but what I've seen from Charlie Hick has been a bad surprise. I'm trying to be polite, but man.
Tackle?
Yes.
But, yeah, well, that's been disastrous.
And the other one is I was expecting more, not that I was expecting like balling out or anything like that, but I was expecting some sort of anything noticeable from the two young edge defenders, whether it be seventh round pick Max
or Mason Rager.
Okay. I've seen zero from them.
Okay. Is it my turn yet?
Yes, sir.
All yours.
I am going to go bad surprises to tight ends. I have not liked what I saw from that unit. I'm including everybody. I expected them to be better without pads. They weren't good enough for me without pads. When we put pads on, it didn't get any better. I'm watching them without Greg right now, and I can tell you that I'm not liking what I see. I expected them to be main helps for these quarterbacks. They're not right now. And I'm a little bit worried about the inline work. On my other negative, I'm going to have to go with Tutu Atwell, and I've been saying this from OTAs. Mm-hmm. The athleticism, the speed, there should be way more productivity than what I'm seeing, which is no productivity. He's had one good day in six practices. Mm-hmm. And you're the most experienced receiver. You're clearly the fastest receiver. You're probably the most talented receiver. You're probably the most accomplished receiver. Why are you invisible? And I would put Tutu Atwell out. I would call plays for him this upcoming week like he is Tyreek Hill, see what he has. And if he doesn't have anything, I'm moving on. I'm ready to eat my $1 million.
Whoa. Can I make another quick comment regarding it? And I don't know if that's a surprise, but it's a little bit of a disappointment. And I didn't know what to expect, but the former second-round pick, Terrace Marshall Jr., made catches, contested catches, can get open, but damn, is the ball security a problem?
Thank you. I thought you were about to praise him.
No, catching the ball and then hanging on to the ball. I think I've seen him strip like two or three times already, and that's not good.
His wide receiver coach, who I don't know his name, Tyke Tolbert. I don't know Tyke. Our first introduction, he talked up Terrence Marshall Jr. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look him up and found out tons of credential and high draft pick, watched him play, and I was like, yeah, there ain't nothing there. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, this is who you're going to talk up? Like, we must be struggling over here. It's just not there for me. It's not there.
It's sad. Some of these guys have the package, but don't finish. Just don't finish.
He's got really good size. He has gotten open, but again, the bendability factor is just not there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But let's move forward.
I would rather invest in Theo East Jr. than Terrence Marshall Jr.
Yep.
There was one good surprise that we missed. None of us mentioned on this Dolphins roster. Chris Bell's health, ladies and gentlemen. Why am I going to simmer that? I saw a video, Alan. Saw a video.
Yeah, did you see the video of Bobby Slowick when he said very quickly he's still a long ways away?
That was the morning before Bobby Slowick didn't even see that workout that I saw. Bobby Slowick didn't see that workout, probably didn't even hear about that workout.
Well, he was running full speed.
Did you see?
No, he wasn't. He had a hitch in his giddy up. Did you see
great speed on that video? I could run faster than that.
No, you stop, Alan.
Exactly.
Listen. There were moments of struggle, but that deep pass, I was there. I was on the field. I was standing probably 15 feet from where the GM and the assistant GM were. I saw their reaction to it. He caught it right underneath them. They saw he put on his afterburners to go get it because he wasn't on track for the ball.
That's what I noticed.
And to me, the biggest issue was the change of direction stuff. The straight line, when you have an ACL, the straight line speed is not going to be the issue. Yeah. It's going to be changing directions, the stability of the knee. So I watched him do some of those drills. When I first came out, I watched him struggle. And so I was just like, yeah, he not close. And then I watched him catch that deep pass. And then I watched him do a little couple more. Because, I had 20 minutes to watch stretching. So I just turned my back to it and was watching the guy working out that I wasn't supposed to be seeing. But here's my thing. If you don't want me to see it, don't do it in front of me. And we could potentially get in trouble for talking about it because we're not supposed to talk about what an injured guy does. But as I say to anybody who wants to pop my hand, if you don't want me to see it and report it, my job is to report what I see. If you don't want me to report it, don't show it to me. You had 2 hours where you couldn't do what you just did and you did it. So don't expect me to just be like, when the fans are there videotaping it, what you want me to do? What exactly do you want me to do?
No, and the bottom line there is from where I sit is I would, and this is when, and I apologize for poo-pooing your excitement there, TD, but I just don't want you to get your hopes up that he's going to get activated next week. Because I don't know that it's... No.
10 days. No,
but I don't, after watching him work out, and I don't know how beneficial this would be, but I think he should be on the practice field before training camp ends. And then,
but not playing
but if you need to put him on the IR again, you can. But I think I think it would benefit him if he got a taste of what it looks like.
And the only issue with that is, and it's, unless it's going to be that big a deal for the Dolphins where they are, is you'd have to use up one of your 8 IR designated to return.
That's true.
And go back on PUP. So the only way, then you'd have to put him on IR at the start of the regular season and designate him to return.
So are you willing to lose 3 weeks of practice time to save yourself one IR designated to return spot for Chris Bell?
Or it could be you give yourself 3 weeks to look at him and with the idea that either we're redshirting him for the entire year or he's playing the entire year.
Yeah, that's not an option. Then
your other decision is 3 weeks worth using up one of your 8 IR moves. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that either. I would leave it in the hands of my medical team. I was surprised to see them testing him out at that point. I thought maybe we'd do it later. Maybe we do it after the first 2 exhibition games. But clearly, if we're doing it now, the thought is let's activate him before training camp ends and see where he is. But I don't see the harm in him starting the season on the NFI and then giving him a test run 4 weeks into the season. I mean, we act like we trying to win games over here.
We ain't acting. We winning games. But what I saw in that video, though, I feel like he's 80%. And let 70. Me I feel like he 80%.
There you go.
Did you see change the direction?
No,
you saw it one time.
Well, here's what I'll say with that, Omar. That was my only hiccup because the drills with the cones and stuff, that looked 70, right? But he also, with the running, looked 80. But when they threw that deep ball, he went to 100. He, in the middle of the route, when he identified where it was, he went to 100 on a straight line. He went. Yep. That extra gear came in. So that's why I put it all at about 80.
I wrote it in my column. I wrote a column the day after. So did Poupard. Kyle Smith, the assistant general manager, after he ran that deep ball, he put his foot in the ground to track it and get it. He put a hard stomp in to accelerate and speed up. They started mimicking it and talking to one another and joking. And you know, I have to think that's a good indicator to them because it's clear that he wants to be out there and he wants to play. I think next week, if he is doing some conditioning stuff while we're, you know, next week, actually this week, if he begins to do a lot more conditioning stuff, then I'd say, yeah, we got a chance. We got a chance.
But this is a guy, though, I know we all want to see him on the field. I know you do. But again, you're not winning the Super Bowl in 2026. Let's be extra.
Says you. By the way,
TD, I don't know if you saw the USA Today dude came up with his record predictions for every team around the NFL. You know what he had the Dolphins at?
4-13.
We wish 1-16.
Who was this? Who was this, Allen?
Nate Davis from USA Today.
Who was this, Allen?
Nate Davis from USA
Today. Who was this, Allen? I know no such person, okay? Listen.
Okay.
Even though it's only three passes, but what Chris Bell also showed is you saw those sure hands. That's one thing he got. Hands. Anyway, well, Chris Bell, that's the update, ladies and gentlemen. It's looking promising, but we're not going to, you know, be more optimistic. We're going to stay in the middle there until we hear more. Austin Jackson, though, his health, it's funny. We did Collective the other day, and I was going to say it, but the show ended. I was talking to my dad the night before Austin Jackson got hurt, and my dad was so excited. He said, man, Austin Jackson finally starting the season healthy. Yeah, man, that's a good sign. And I came home. I was like, Austin Jackson left practice today. So it's tough, man. Like, even though it's not a, at least right now, it's not a long prognosis. What's your thoughts on this situation? And we'll go back to Omar this time with Austin Jackson.
As I said to y'all, and y'all laughed and y'all got mad at me, I want Austin Jackson in bubble wrap till the regular season starts.
You did make the point. You did make that point.
Give the man a chance. Give the man a chance.
He's not good enough to justify that. I said that before. I'm going to say it again. Sorry. And it's a right tackle problem. It's not an Austin Jackson problem. And here's the thing, too, is even if it's not – first of all, we don't know if it's related to the toe injury he had last year. Number two, Jeff Hafley says it's nothing major. It's going to be like day-to-day. But just the fact that he went three practices without some kind of medical issue – if that doesn't like sound off the alarm all over the place, I don't know what does. I mean, it's just bad. Even if it's minor, it's just bad that like, here we go again. And then practice is going to go back to practice. Is going to be like, we'll be watching it. Our binoculars will be on him every single solitary snap to see if he's okay. I mean,
but here's the thing, Alan. And I want your honest answer. If Austin Jackson even has a tweak of his calf or hamstring, aren't you saying go sit down?
Of course.
Okay, so that's where we could be. Austin Jackson could have a hangnail, and I'd be like, go sit down.
Yeah, sure. But the problem is,
he's always has, there's always something.
I know, yeah. But listen.
And I like Austin as much as you do, as a dude. He's a little good dude, but it's like, man.
I mean, sometimes it's. I don't know, man. I don't know. I can't even like.
And it's like I was on board when they had load maintenance or load management for Teron Armstead. I was perfectly fine with that. When they did that with X, perfectly fine with that. Because those guys are like difference makers and there's an elevation that they bring to the rest of their unit. I'm sorry. I don't
know. Nah, Alan, I'm sorry. After seeing Heck whatever. And yeah, he justified to sit down.
I mean, we're talking about moving players from to different positions because of no Austin Jackson. That's how serious it is. Like, I already know the option there will not do. So now I got to consider moving Proctor or moving Jonah. Those are my only choices.
So now I got to backtrack, Omar. How would we look right now if we did draft Reuben Bain over Caden Proctor?
I mean, I don't want to talk about that. None of that until Reuben Bain starts playing and delivering sacks. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sure you saw the clip of him indoors doing the spin move.
That's one spin move. Show me 10 plays.
Good. There's another one the previous day where he got completely stonewalled by the same right tackle. So they were one and one.
Yeah. I you know, that's Tampa Bay's trying to sell you Reuben Bain right now. I don't like when you're trying to sell me nothing. Don't try to sell me nothing. I need to come to you and try to make an offer. Don't try to sell me nothing. Tampa Bay is doing a hard sell on Reuben Bain right now. I could hard sell you on Caden Proctor. It's while I was in my feelings about it, because I thought Reuben Bain would be a culture guy. Who do I think is going to ultimately end up making more money in his career? Caden Proctor. Caden Proctor, if he's who he's supposed to be and just average at who he's supposed to be, he's a $100 million player. Reuben Bain got to be dominant to be a $100 million player.
This is true. Right.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now court is in session. We are bringing someone up to the stand to testify. His name is Omar Kelly. Don't laugh in front of the judge. I'll hold you in contempt, okay?
All right.
Omar Kelly decided to go on Twitter today, okay? And I don't even know if he don't realize I was actually agreeing with him at first. You know, he had talked about some traits and stuff, and I was like, this is an underrated comment. Y'all need to pay attention to what Omar's saying here. This is what builds championships, you know, champion teams. He was like, no, it don't. You need dogs to build championship teams. And I said, hold on.
Dogs and dogs.
Are you trying to say there aren't any dogs on this team? And his response was, name them.
That's it. That's the Omar response right there. Omar, name them.
Omar, how many dogs you got on this team? Because I wrote a list.
Well, I got to name them. I asked you to name them.
But you say there are none. I mean, I'm like, all right, you didn't all say right, there are right.
No, I didn't say there are none.
Okay, how about this? Jordan, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Bonus 12, 13.
You that's crazy talk. Crazy.
All right, let's go. Let's go. You ready?
Go ahead,
yeah, go ahead.
All right. Is Achane a dog?
Yes.
All right.
Wait, is he a dog? He's a great player. Does that make him a dog?
He's a little dog? Chihuahua. He's a dog.
That's a dog. That's a dog.
He's a little feisty Chihuahua.
If you want Bulldog, I think you'd appreciate that more than Chihuahua.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
All right. Jordan Brooks?
Absolutely.
Dog. Zach Seed?
Dog. I would not put Zach in a dog. I love Zach, but I would not put Zach in a dog category.
I'll allow it. Personally, I'll allow it.
Wow. So we split.
I love Zach.
I got Zach, so we checking it off, Alan. All right.
Okay.
Malik Willis.
No.
I don't know him. I don't know him like that. I don't know him like that.
You have to be at least a one-year full-time starter to be a dog.
No, dogs are dogs. You can come out of college a dog.
Dogs are dogs. But he ain't bark and bite nobody in 4 years.
That's what I said. You have to be at least a one-time full-time starter.
You ain't taking Malik Willis on my list, okay? All right.
Okay.
Patrick Paul.
Dog.
Allen. Okay.
Yeah. I love what all you gotta do is watch him like pancake somebody and stand over them and laugh. And that's dog. That's dog right there.
All right. We got five already, Omar. Jordan Phillips.
No, I can't give him dog. I like him. Can't give him dog. I gotta see throw people around to be a dog.
I agree with him.
So you're not giving it to him either, Alan? The disrespect. I'll put the X. I ain't putting the X on Malik, but anyway.
Okay.
Dotson.
No.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but no.
Oh, y'all are just brutal.
He's got the moxie for it, but
Yeah. Moxie for it. But like dogs are people that can scare you at a time. Like a dog is I'm fearful if I let you off the leash, you're gonna bite somebody. No. Not really.
Brewer.
Yes. Dog. Absolute dog. All right, I'm surprised he wasn't like the first three people that you named.
Right?
Proctor.
Too early. I don't know him.
Too early.
I don't know him.
See, it's because you don't know him. Okay.
He was the dog at Alabama. I don't know him. I don't know that man.
Kaczmarek.
Who?
No.
Will Kaczmarek.
No.
No.
Okay. Kyle Lewis.
No,
I don't know him.
Chris Bell.
I don't know him.
It's because you're saying you don't know him. All right. So I'm going to give my two bonus ones, and then I'm going to count them up. Jeff Hafley and John Eric Sullivan. Dogs. How about that? Anyway, let me count them. Let me see. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of my 13 that y'all hating on. 7 ain't enough on the roster.
That was not dogs. Most of those not dogs. Sorry. No.
You agreed to these.
A good football player. No. I did not agree to know Zach Sealer as a dog. I did not agree of Malik Willis as a dog. No, sir.
Just when
I don't mean lack of dogs is their biggest issue though right now heading into the season. When to be honest about the fact that they have a ton of young players and they don't have depth. That's their biggest. It's not the lack of dogs, that's the issue.
I don't disagree with you. The whole point of what I said was there's no mercenaries. There's no there's no diva and there's no diva personas and catering to nobody. So I like that. It's like a whole roster where a guy can't even be injured because he feels like he's going to lose his chance and opportunity. I like that. I think it's great for the foundation building of a team, but you need dogs to be good in this league. You need and I had a call from a guy who was in the NFL, who's now an analyst. And he said to me, because he saw our exchange, and he said to me, what did he say? Yeah, you need players. You need somebody who's gonna keep a defensive coordinator up at night. Other than HN, there ain't nobody here.
Good, but that's not a dog. That's players, and that's what the dog.
I mean,
dude, you're right.
I would love to tell you that Chris Bell's gonna come here and be a dog and give you what Jarvis Landry did and sort of. I would love to tell you that, but I cannot tell you that. I cannot get you that. Hell, yeah. Kevin Coleman could be a dog. We don't know. We don't know that man.
I forgot one. Jacob Rodriguez.
Too early. Dude, he's a rook. He's a rook.
Okay.
The one thing I've learned from the past six practices and learned from interacting with the fan base, we're selling these rookies like they're going to come here and be saviors. No, they're rookies. They're going to make just as many mistakes as plays that they make. And they're going to cost their team games just as many as they win. Like, this is what rookies do. And they make mistakes.
Now, and sometimes there's a rookie that come in and just like, wow, what a
rare.
Rookie.
It's rare. And
well, we got a lot of rare on this roster.
TV, I did a story the end of last year. Basically, the theme of it was the Dolphins paid the price for playing so many rookies. And invariably, you have that many rookies who play big roles for your team. It ain't going to be good on the one loss record.
The whole team blamed the 2-7 start on the rookies.
Yeah.
The whole team, coaches, players, everybody, they blamed the 2-7 start on the rookies. Probably
they were right though. They were right. Chris Greer rookies. Those ain't John Eric Sullivan rookies.
Those are still rookies you relying on right now. Those players are going to be better than this whole draft class. Those players that you're that were responsible for 2-7. The Dante Traders, the Jordan Phillips, the Kenneth Grant, the Zeke Biggers, the Who else is it?
Jonah
Savanaya. Like
Ollie Borden. No, sir. I give you an empty bet on this. We ain't got to put nothing on it, but we're going to double back on this. I guarantee
I promise you those players will be way class, better.
I bet you this rookie class play better than the sophomores.
Could 2006 in 2006? I want money on that. In 2006, you telling me that the rookie class going to play better than the sophomores?
2006, I was in college. 2026. Yes, 2026. The 2026 draft class. Will play better than the sophomores.
I will take it. I will take your money.
Give me, how about this? You give me your top 2025 class, and I'll give you my, and I'll pick my 2026, and we'll keep an eye on it. You tell me your top three.
How many players?
Top three.
No. I want the whole class. I will give
you. Come on. You know we had some later rounds.
I'm taking eight, you getting 13. The odds are your favorite.
No, because then you're going to be talking about percentages. Next thing you know, you're going to be bringing up percentages.
Bro, we can put this to the people.
Give me your top five. Top five.
I'll take my top five versus your top five. We can do that.
Name your five.
Hold on, TD. That's really unfair because the Dolphins had five picks in the first three rounds this year, last year.
Then let's factor that in. Care. There's a greater chance that these rookies can show up earlier because they were higher draft picks.
Okay.
There's a greater chance.
Jonah Savanaya, I'm going to take that.
Okay.
Dante Trader. I'm going to take Dante Trader. I'm going to take Jordan Phillips.
Okay. You got you one now.
Okay, I guess I got to take Kenneth Grant. Mm-hmm. Let me get a side of Jason Marshall Jr.
Marshall Jr. Oh my, this is a bad bet for you.
Oh, it's a bad bet for you. That's a good bet.
Jonah versus Proctor. I'm going to get to
I like it.
Trader
like
versus Chris Johnson.
I like it.
Phillips, Jacob Rodriguez.
I'm not scared.
You're already in trouble. Kyle Lewis. And Caleb Douglas.
You ain't even.
You lucky I'm not adding Chris Bell, because that's just, I don't know when he's coming.
Listen. You notice he didn't even add Kevin Coleman Jr. or Trey Moore, who probably, in my opinion, are both going to be rookie starters from out the gate.
These five guys are going to be productive this year.
I'm just telling you, you might want to consider. I'm telling you, Trey Moore. I'm telling you, Kevin Coleman Jr. Okay. You might want to consider.
I know they're going to be good. That's how good this rookie class is. Chat. All right. Help us out in the chat. Who do you think is going to win this?
At the end of the season, you're going to be like, I should have picked the two that Omar told me to pick, because those are the guys who are going to play and contribute.
Yeah, let me put this right over here. This is gonna be here every week. We're gonna talk about this one when the season starts.
They put on your wall, TD, so we know it's not going anywhere.
Y'all let me know in the chat, who do you think is gonna win this one? My picks, Omar's, and Allen. Who you got, Allen? You gotta pick a side now.
No, Allen,
you gotta pick a side. You gotta pick a side. Which one do you think is gonna be?
This is the side I'm picking.
Oh, come on. Okay. Now I got to wait on Doug.
Listen, I'm riding with my sophomores because you know what? They took them lumps and the lessons, and they're going to benefit them moving forward. Whereas the rookies, they don't know what they don't know. They don't know what they don't know. It's not the same game. They don't know. They don't even know the speed of the NFL game yet. Caden Proctor don't know the power that a veteran defensive tackle plays with in the NFL. Snap after snap after snap after snap.
Jonah learned it the hard way.
Hold on.
You just said he's learned it. Has he?
Yes, I do believe he has. Yeah. Listen, Jonah was good for 50 snaps a game. He was bad for 5 snaps a game. And those 5 snaps a game made him the worst offensive guard in the NFL.
What about Kenneth Grant?
I threw him on my pile because I had to.
That's a ringing endorsement right there.
I mean, what you want me to do? Pick Ollie Gordon?
You know what? That might. It's too late to switch now because I'm winning this one. All right, y'all, man. We done had a lot of fun today. We want to get to the super chats to the people that are blessing the channel. We appreciate all the love and support that each and every one of you show us over here on the collective on a regular basis. Y'all don't even realize. Y'all literally make this the number one show in the Miami Dolphins community. Not that the community lacks content. We love all content creators, but y'all are making what we're doing over here massive. And that's a beautiful thing because you get a blend of all type of different opinions, arguments, bad starting fives by Omar, but we'll prove that this year. Anywho, Lino TV, here he go. TD, where are your burger? Where are your burger crown? Your Dolphins couldn't get 10 wins in the CFL, the XFL, UFL, and heck, the Women's X League. LOL, you're a hater, Lino. At some point, you got to stop the hate, man.
But he's funny. He ain't funny.
He do this all day. Anyway, Disciplination 9. Okay. GB, is that Green Bay? Rarely signs free agents unless they're all pros defensive ends. If the Miami took the same approach like Crosby, what move do you think they'd make next season?
Any of you bro, I ain't worried about next season. I'm trying. Listen, the one thing that has impacted this team is that Steve Ross has really taken a step back. And I've said that going back to this show last year, and now we have the proof of it. His son-in-law is running this organization right now. They're under new management. Steve is just like, and so I don't think he's even going to spend big in free agency. I think he's lost his passion for this.
The question is whether he's going to give Daniel Sillman carte blanche to spend.
We'll see.
We shall see.
Yeah. Interesting.
Their approach is to build things the right way, which means not go out there and spend ridiculous money. I would say, yeah, tell that to Steve Ross. But now that Steve Ross has taken a step back, and there's proof of this.
But their building approach was to clear the salary cap mess that they had and to put them in position themselves. I would be surprised if they didn't go fishing for at least one or two prominent free agents next offseason.
Well, at DJ Wilson 194 said, where has DJ Campbell been playing? And is it a realistic spot that he may be inserted into?
No. And I can't tell you what spot he's been playing because I'll get pow-powed.
He's listed on the roster as a guard.
All right.
That's correct.
Right. Therefore, if the Dolphins were to move somebody from guard to right tackle, then maybe he could become a candidate. I don't know that
he was high on the depth chart, but he's not.
Well, you see, now this is pow-pow.
Well, I'll expose it. He playing free safety. End of discussion. All right, there you have it. At David Thomas 2046, when can we expect tackles coming in for tryouts?
I thought they would have signed a tackle instead of a defensive tackle, and claimed the tight end. That makes sense to me because their tight ends they're down two. They only got three healthy ones, so this is a good move for them.
And a tight end who actually played under Jeff Hafley at Boston College. That Jeremiah Franklin, yes. And Dolphins had, was it six players in for tryouts yesterday? They had another five or six today. Not one of them was a tackle. They had a guard and a center, but not one tackle.
But I think it makes sense for guard and center, and here's why it makes sense for guard and center. Because I think your sixth offensive lineman is Andrew Meyer, so he would go to guard. And then if I'm going to draft a guard, if I'm going to move a guard to tackle, I would need a guard. And that's the only thing I'm considering. Only thing that's on the table for me is moving a guard to tackle.
Okay, this is also where I need to point out that out of those combined, what is it, 12 or 13 players they tried out the last 2 days, one of them has appeared in an NFL regular season game, and that was in 2024. And that was a defensive tackle. Everybody else is like a rookie free agent, somebody got cut last year, that kind of player.
What you think you're going to find out out there right now, except for James Daniels?
That's you got to wait on the way. They're not
signing James Daniels, dude. You know.
But I'm saying that caliber player and the James Danielses of the world, they're not signing until exhibition game number two has been played.
Which would be another reason why the Dolphins wouldn't want to sign him.
So it sounds like we're going to be active after the third preseason games when teams make cuts and that waiver wire is active.
Yep.
All right.
They'll be claiming players off waivers, I would highly suspect.
Yeah.
I'm 45. I was TD up to 25, a homer. Since I've been Omar. Just negative.
I've gone through this from years to years. People can put this negative label on me. I am going to be positive for this upcoming 3-week stretch of practice. You're going to get nothing but positivity from me for this upcoming 3-practice stretch. I'm going to be showering you with positivity because I'm going to Washington and I'm going to tell you the truth. So this week, I'm just going to be positive.
70-yard touchdown runs all over the place.
I get it now. Okay.
Had to do some research, did you?
Oh, Lord. Hey, I stay away from it. All right. Edward Primerano, something like that. You got me. Stop saying Malik don't have weapons. These young wide receivers are going to surprise you. Solid tight ends and running backs and an O-line on a cusp of top 10. TD, tell them, let's freaking go. Hey, man, what's understood ain't got to be explained, bro. Me and you, we see it. We see it.
Love the positivity.
Omar, yeah, don't you agree?
Yes, I absolutely agree. I think they're players that can develop, and man, we will see their development.
Alan, this gonna last for 13 minutes. I'm going to open Twitter, and he's going to put a new message over.
I'm going to put it out there on Twitter. This next 3-practice stretch is positive, Omar.
No, it is going to be like
Hey, I watched special teams yesterday. Nobody gave me my props. I watched all of it.
Omar, you're going to be like, I'm positive they're going to suck. I'm positive I see that.
Exactly.
Told you to be positive.
Right, oh, man. Ted Allen in the building just dropped some love, said, any noticeable difference in how Jeff Hafley and his staff are leading, guiding this team? Bunch of changes happening all throughout the organization. Just curious if there's anything that sticks out.
There are.
I like how they practice. I like how practice is run. It's fast. But
they're always changing. No, you ain't seen fast till you seen Joe Philbin's practices. Those were two split fields. You run a play. That play's over. The other field running the play. It was like boom, 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 boom. That was fast. It's always changes. I don't know
why the team stopped doing that because it's so time efficient, you know, to run two fields like that.
But I think it was that was before sports science where they probably realized how much of a challenge it was putting on their bodies.
Okay. Some teams are still.
You can't push that many rookies anyway, so.
Yeah. Oh. Mm. Mm. Kelly said, thank you for another good show. Thank you so much, Kelly.
Appreciate you for the money, Kelly. Thank you.
We really appreciate that. All right, and last but not least, Josh Wright 2418 just said, y'all's thoughts. I believe our O-line is better. Front seven is better on defense, and QB can get through 12 games also better than the last. I 100% believe we will win 10 games and our first playoffs game. Yeah. I'm with you. I keep telling everybody I'm with you, man. I see 10 wins in our ceiling, maybe 11 somewhere in that range. We'll sweep the Jets. We'll sweep Buffalo and split with the Patriots. But that's where my starting point is. But, Josh, you get it. Omar, don't you agree?
If the offensive line is better, it has Austin Jackson, I think that they've got a chance to put together a respectable team.
It's 12 wins if they have Austin Jackson and 5 if they don't.
No, Alan said it.
Josh, I love your optimism. Would love to see it happen. I'll leave it at that.
All right, CatX QQ question for you all. Where would this franchise be if we had joined the AFC South when the league adjusted the divisions? Thank you for your time.
Probably would have a playoff win by now. And for those who are not familiar with the story, in 2002, when the NFL realigned after the Houston Texans joined, the NFL apparently was all set to move the Dolphins to the AFC South, along with Houston, with Jacksonville and Tennessee, with Indy, Buffalo, New England, and the Jets comprising the AFC East, and the Dolphins put the kibosh on that, ostensibly because they wanted to keep the rivalries with the Patriots,
Bills, and Jets. Who would the four teams be again? Jacksonville,
Tennessee, Houston,
Indy.
Dolphins. Not Indy.
Indy wasn't going to be in?
They would have been out.
In AFC East.
We would have been dominant. No cold weather division games?
No Brady, no Manning.
I will say this. A lot of fans, we want to blame the 35 years on management and bad quarterback play, and that's also part of the factor into it. But it doesn't help that you've had 18 years of the greatest player of all time in your division and that you've had to take all your playoff games on the road.
Followed by another dominant quarterback since 2018 who took over for Brady. That doesn't help.
Does not help. Have the best quarterback in your division, you give yourself a chance. We have not had that.
We finally got it, y'all. So you can be rest assured that we finally have the best quarterback in the division. That just lit Omar up. He's so happy. He sees it now. He finally sees it. But time will tell. We want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight. I think our peak was about 980 people, which is pretty dope in the middle of the week on a day that there was no practice, which means Dolphin fans are alive and well, and we are up. We appreciate everybody tuning in. But do us one big favor. Make sure you let all of your friends and family members that are Dolphin fans know about the Dolphin Collective, because at the end of the day, we are a collective as a community of fans, of everybody who covered the team, all of that. We are one community, all right? So thank y'all for tuning in. When the video is over, make sure you go in the comment section and let us know what you think about the show, okay? And make sure you punch that like button. Omar?
I want to say that we will be having an open scrimmage. It's not fair that I call it a scrimmage, but it's going to be a scrimmage. On Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium. Make sure you go. Jeff Hafley has promised live tackling during training camp. This is going to be a great opportunity. Show us that live tackling. Free. Go ahead, Poop.
No, I was going to say that Dolphins would appreciate it. For those who intend on going to the practice, to RSVP for the practice, yes, to the Dolphins website.
Okay.
For that one practice at the stadium. For the practices at the Baptist Health Training Complex, just show up. You're all set. They've asked the RSVP for
RSVP. Probably make sure they have enough hot dogs and sodas and things like that, and how much popcorn to make. I just want to say we will be here on Saturday evening after the practice that's open to the public. Yeah, we're doing a show Saturday instead of Friday, sir. Very yes. Well. Yes.
Be nice. Somebody let me in on this.
Okay.
Okay, it's Saturday night.
Oops, our bad.
By the way, don't mind me, folks. I'm just like a
you're the Oreo. You're the cream in the middle of our Oreo.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like the way that came up.
All right.
All right, y'all. But most importantly, before we get out of here, man, y'all make sure you go check out the individual content. Omar, you want to go ahead and let them know where they can find it?
Yeah, MiamiHerald.com. We do daily practice reports. We got three stories up. Poopar does three stories too, and they're free. He'll tell you that. But you also get you got six stories up? You're also going to get Dolphins in Depth podcast, a podcast provided to you by the Miami Herald.
Nice. And Alan, let them know where they can find you.
Well, as Omar said, you can find all the written content for free, no paywall, no subscription, at Miami Dolphins on SI.com. And every day when the Dolphins practice, check out the All Dolphins podcast. I even did a bonus episode today, even though there was no practice, to talk about the roster moves and all those tryouts.
And don't forget about our brother, our good friend, Doug Lee Durong. Make sure you go over to his channel and check it out. Amazing, consistent, classy content for Dolphins community. Make sure you check it out. And just for the heck of it, go over there right now, his latest video. Make sure you put in the comment section that we can't wait to see him this weekend, all right? You can check me out at TD Fans Talk as well and Roundtable Sports launching this week as well. Thank you all. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Y'all take care. The Fins are up no matter what. We'll see y'all next time. Dolphins Collective, we are out.